Welcome to the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. This podcast is about America's most visited national park, the Great Smokies Mountains National Park and the surrounding towns. This area is filled with ancient natural beauty, a deep storied history, and rich mountain cultures that we explore with weekly episodes. I'm Joseph Franklin McElroy, a man of the world, but also with deep roots in these mountains. My family is leading the Great Smokies for over 200 years. My business is in travel, but my heart is in culture. Today, we're going to talk about quality brewing in the Smokies. But first, a sponsor's message, which happens to be me. Imagine a place evocative of motor courts of the past, yet modern and vibrant with a chic Appalachian feel and the amenities of a country inn. A place for adventure and for relaxation. Imagine a place where you can fish in a mountain heritage trout stream, grill the catch on fire, and eat accompanied by fine wine or craft beers. Imagine a place with old-time music and world cultural sounds. There is no other place like the Middle Ark Motel in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. Your Smoky Mountain adventure start with where you stay. Another sponsor is SmokiesAdventure.com. That's Smokies, plural, adventure, singular.com. The Smoky Mountains and surrounding area is a vacation destination for all seasons. Some of the nation's best hiking trails, waterfalls, outdoor adventures, and family entertainment can be found right here. Start your adventure by using SmokiesAdventure.com to explore all the wonderful features of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Trails, waterfalls, Cades Cove, the Elk, and more. Then check out the awesome family attractions and entertainment you and your entire family can enjoy. And if you're wanting to do things like outdoor life events like weddings or honeymoons, Smokies Adventures got you covered. It can let you know where some of the great places to go and to have your event can happen. The goal of SmokiesAdventure.com is to become the leading information portal for adventures and experiences in the Great Smokies Mountains. So I want to give you a couple of events that are coming up. There's a Mountain Heritage book series happening in Maggie Valley, North Carolina at the Middle Ark Motel. And on Saturday, March 26, 2022 at 4 p.m., renowned author Bob Plott will lead a seminar on the history of hunting in the Great Smoky Mountains, followed by a barbecue dinner and music with Mike Ogletree, former drummer of Simple Minds, and various guests for that evening. Call 828-926-1717 for more information. And as I've mentioned before, we're going to have a big fly fishing camp in April here at the Middle Ark Motel. What's better for the soul than throwing a line upstream, watching it pass, doing it again and again, and perhaps getting a bite? I don't know. All anglers know that fishing isn't only about reeling in the big one, although that always gets our blood a-pumping. But fly fishing is about being one with the river, its magnificent presence, while witnessing a valuable ecosystem. The Middle Ark Motel is offering a fly fishing camp on all weekend on April 15th to the 17th in the Smoky Mountains. Our goal is to bring like-minded people together through fly fishing, food, drinks, stories, and campfire. Friday night will feature fishing tales of the Smokies, beverages of your choice at the speakeasy, a charcuterie board full of small bites and trout delicacies, and lodging at the Middle Ark Motel. And then Saturday, a breakfast full of wonderful delights, a half day of on-hands construction, 4 hours of intense fishing on an elite regional trout stream, and then additional fishing in the Mountain Heritage Trout Stream in the backyard. There'll be a barbecue dinner, live musical entertainment, campfires, and again, lodging at the Middle Ark Motel. Call 828-926-1717 to get more information and to reserve your space. We're going to be talking about brewing in the Smokies soon, and I just wanted to give you a little insight into it. You know, this area has become quite a brewmaster's paradise. It's actually considered one of the top areas for getting a craft beer in the nation. Asheville is considered oftentimes the top city to get a craft beer. And there's many surrounding towns and counties have become grown into quite little brew capitals of themselves. There are more breweries in and around Asheville than you can shake a stick at. And the economic impact of this brewing industry is almost $1 billion. right? The local beer industry is the second largest manufacturing employer in the Asheville metro area. It supports almost 3,500 jobs. The industry generated $33.4 million in local tax revenues, and it has generated over $115 million for local, state, and federal governments. It saw a 357% growth from 2014 to 2019. These statistics are from 2019, but let me tell you, after a couple months in 2020, when we were shut down for COVID, it's been growing even more. It's been growing great guns. It's added, you know, well over 1,200 jobs, the most among at manufacturing industries. And for every direct job in the industry, approximately one additional role was created to support in the local economy. So not only is it a wonderful tourism experience and culinary and imbibing experience, but it's also been important for the local economy here in the mountains. So we have an expert with us today. His name is Corey Bryson. He is the co-owner with his wife, Lori Bryson, of Balsam Falls Brewery, which is an award-winning craft beer artisan and certified beer judge. He and his wife are also, I think it's Cicerone, he'll tell me in a minute whether that's correctly said or not, certified beer servers. They now own and operate Balsam Falls Brewing in Silva, where Corey has family roots that go back over 150 years. He and Lori are also well-known community activists in Jackson County and take pride in making their homes there. Hello, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good today.
Yeah? Yeah. So you didn't grow up here, but your family's from here, right?
That's correct. My dad went off to college, went to NC State, went in the Navy, and I was actually born in California. Grew up all over the Southeast, but every summer I spent in these mountains with my grandparents.
So. That's fabulous. You know, that's exactly what I did with my son, Ethan, who's now 30, is that, you know, I left and went out to New York and different places, but I made sure he did come back every summer, right? And I think it's important to touch base with your cultural roots that way, because both of us, you know, have hundreds of years of cultural base in here. So it's great that you come back. So you've lived in a lot of places, but you ended up in Florida, right?
I did. We moved to Florida in 2000 and lived there until 2016.
Cool. And you have an information technology background.
Yes.
So where did you go to school?
I have an associate's degree in electronics, actually, from a school that was in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't think it's around anymore. All right. Rest Electronics Institute. I went into, did a few different things. One of the things I did was I was a broadcast engineer for a TV station.
That's good.
In Little Rock. And then I went into IT and I worked in that pretty much up until, we opened the business, and I've worked in it some recently.
Cool.
Since then. But.
My son was, when he left his school, he went to school, he was going to be a marine biologist, right? And then he went to Wilmington and he discovered that they had this wonderful kinetic science degree, which was learning about how the body, and he ended up getting interested in powerlifting. And so he's been doing like powerlifting for 10 years plus. So he got a wellness position with a corporation and stuff. But now recently he's told me he's going to be in IT, and, you know, I have some IT background in my past. So, That's pretty cool. You know, it's a good business to be in, but
it is.
Sometimes it's not as fun as it could be.
Sometimes you find a hobby that you just can't shake.
Yeah.
And in my life, I've been called a collector of hobbies. So I'd take up one hobby and I'd work at it and work at it, get tired of it, go on to something else. But when I took up brewing, it just stuck.
Oh, really?
And it took over a good part of my life. And I said, well, if I'm this interested in it, if it can keep my attention for more than 3 months, and then more than a year, more than 2 years, more than 5 years, maybe there's something here that I can work with.
So it started, that's an interesting thing. It started as a hobby. What was your hobby before, what was an example of a hobby before?
You name it.
Gaming?
Yeah, I was a gamer for a while.
That's what my son is.
IT. Yeah. I built computers. I was a photographer.
Yeah.
Took up photography for a while. Did a lot of digital photography. Did some weddings and things like that.
Well, you know, you see this artwork here. I consider that a hobby, an avocation instead of a vocation, right? So your hobby became a reality in Tampa, Florida, right?
Yes.
Now, and, you know, you started getting a reputation for it there, right?
Yeah. When I first got interested in brewing, we joined a local homebrew club, Brandon Bootleggers Homebrew Club. They had monthly meetings, and they had a lot of great people there that brewed beer and learned a lot from them. Mm-hmm. We got together separately as kind of a side project to the club was a competition team. And we would get together once a month and judge several different beers. They could be craft beers. They could be homebrew. And we would go through your standard judging score sheet. And that helped calibrate my palate to what it should be and to know what I'm tasting and why it's there or why it shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And that really got me interested in judging beer. And that's how I moved on to it.
Well, I mean, it's probably very complex, but is there some things that that you can tell people to how to judge a beer is good? There's some of the simple measures that you could. Yeah.
Well, as a beer judge, the biggest thing is you have to judge a beer based on its style.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't fit into a style category, then the question becomes, does it taste good?
Mm-hmm.
Does it taste like it's well-balanced? Is this a beer that you can drink and enjoy? Maybe want another one. Or if it's a beer that you drink and you're not sure about and not sure you want another one, well, that's your own personal preference and taste. And that's the most important thing in drinking beer. Is drinking beer that you like and that you enjoy.
So the other day, if you like it, you judged it appropriately, right? But yeah, the thing is, there's like the gradation, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between judging a beer based on very stringent style guidelines and drinking a beer just to enjoy it.
Okay, so cool. Well, we have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that and then how it evolved into a career.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Oh,
Everybody, this is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast and my guest, Corey Bryson. So, Corey, you are a Cicerone certified beer server. So tell me what that means.
Well, the Cicerone program is equivalent to a sommelier in wine. And that is the entry level. It's something that we encourage our staff to go through, to take that certification, so that they have a better, base of beer knowledge. So it's really an entry level, certification. When my wife and I decided to start this business, we said, well, at the very least, we should have that for ourselves, know what it takes to pass it, and encourage our staff to do the same.
And how long does it usually take to get one of those?
I'd say, well, depending on who you are and your basic knowledge and how well you study, probably about 6 weeks, and you can get the information down.
And then what's higher than that? What's the higher?
Then you become that's the level one, I guess. Mm. And then you become a certified Cicerone.
I see.
Which that is equivalent to a base or a first level sommelier.
I see. So, wow.
In beer.
So that's interesting. Is it? It's not as well known as it being a sommelier, but yeah.
Right. Well,
is it trying to become that well known?
Yeah. It is, but it's becoming very well respected in the industry because sommeliers, wine is always promoted as being the high culture thing. Mm-hmm. And what many people don't realize is that beer has such a deep, deep history. And we have hundreds of classic styles that are out there. Mm-hmm. What makes one different from the other? Mm-hmm. That's what an expert in beer would know. Mm-hmm. Whereas an expert in wine can tell you the difference between different grapes and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, beer basically uses all the same ingredients. You know, your malt is your malt, your hops are your hops, although there are different types of hops and there are different types of malts depending on how highly they're kilned. That determines how dark the malt is and hence how dark your beer becomes.
Wow. And what, I don't want to put you in a spot, but what does Cicerone mean?
Honestly, I've seen the definition of it before, but I don't recall.
Is it a name or that's interesting. It almost sounds like a classic character for some literature or something like that. Yeah. Oh, Shakespeare. Okay, Shakespeare. Cool. All right. That was Mike, our engineer in the background, giving us an insight. Yeah. So you came here did you start your beer business in Tampa or here?
No. I was very involved in the Tampa Bay craft beer scene, along with my homebrew club, in Florida. Homebrewers could bring their creations to beer festivals and serve there. So our homebrew club was invited to a number of the beer festivals that Tampa Bay had. And so we met a lot of the brewers there. The community is very open and very engaged in that craft beer scene. So we became very involved with that. My wife, who's not here with us, was the co-organizer of the Bay Area Barley's Angels, which was a women's...
That's a great name.
it's a national or probably international women's craft beer organization.
Right.
And they would go around and visit breweries and talk to brewery reps. And so we just kind of became embedded in that culture in Tampa. It wasn't until we had a couple of guys from our home brew club who decided to open a brewery in Tampa that we thought, well, that's kind of interesting because we have been wanting to move back, move here to Silva and to Western North Carolina. But weren't sure how we were going to make it happen. So we were looking for a way to make it happen. And after seeing these two guys, one was a banker, the other was a auto body mechanic, and they got together and got some investors and opened a brewery and were very successful. We thought, that might be a possibility. So we talked to them. They shared their business plan with us. We worked on it for about 3 years and finally came to the point where we needed to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So we sold our house in Tampa, quit our jobs, moved up here, and started working to make it happen.
So why did you decide to do it in Sylvan?
Because I've always loved Western North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up here, but I spent every summer here growing up. Mm-hmm. I've always loved it. It always felt like home because I moved around a lot as a kid. I lived all over the Southeast. And these mountains have always felt like home to me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be here. So when we started looking, we were looking at Jackson County, where Sylva is, and at Haywood County. We looked in Waynesville and Canton as well when we were looking for locations, and finally decided on Sylva.
Well, Sylva was a lovely little town. It's a great place for you. Already had a couple breweries there, and one of them died, right?
Actually, we had two of them that went out of business.
Really? Yeah.
There were three breweries in Sylva when we finally made the decision that Sylva was going to be our home, the home for the brewery. And we were a little bit concerned with three breweries already mm-hmm. in a very small town. But we knew that we could make it happen. So mm-hmm. we.
Wow. So, I mean, when you're starting a small business is tough.
It is.
And you come into town with three breweries. How did you succeed? How did you stay in existence?
Well, 1 month before we opened, one of the breweries closed, and it was unfortunate because, I knew the owner really well and liked him. Had even talked to him about potentially doing a joint venture and you know, having us come in and maybe work with him and make that brewery into what it could be. But that didn't work out. So he ended up closing. And then once we had opened, it was a lot about the feeling and the ambiance of mm-hmm. our location. We wanted to be warm and friendly and family friendly and inviting, the place that you can come into. And if you're a regular, everybody knows your name, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of the cheers mentality. And that's what we did. So from day one, the focus was to take care of our customers, to be there for our customers, to make them feel wanted and welcome, and not be these the industrial brewery where, you know, you want to be here's your beer, and then nobody talks to you, and they're too busy mm-hmm. to even give you the time of day.
So hospitality is an important right. part of what you do. So it's important. Not just a brewery, it's a hospitality as well.
Absolutely.
Right. So you named it Balsam Falls, right?
Yes.
And there's a beautiful waterfall near there called Balsam Falls. And I know water is important for all making of beer, wine, whatever. Is that reason why you named it Balsam Falls?
No, actually, when we came up with the name Balsam Falls, there was no Balsam Falls.
Oh, really?
We searched and searched. We did the whole trademark search. We had seen too many of our friends in the brewing industry get hammered with $100,000 worth of legal bills because someone wanted to challenge them on their name.
Yeah.
So before we even moved up here, we started the trademark process on that name. But the name came from two things. Number one, in the early 70s in Sylva, there was an active waterfall, and mm-hmm. it was the only municipality in the country that had an active waterfall within the city limits. When they put the Great Smoky Mountain Expressway through, they diverted the waterfall, and it was called Dill's Falls. Mm-hmm. We actually have a picture of it on the front of our bar. So we wanted to pay homage to that, and we also wanted to have a name that really evoked our locality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got the Platte Balsam Mountain Range that runs right between where we are here and Sylva. Mm-hmm. And Balsam was something that just kept coming up, and Balsam just felt like the Smoky Mountains. And the Platte Balsam Mountain Range is topped by balsam trees. You've got he balsam and she balsam is what they used to call them. You got the spruce trees and the fir trees. So those things really spoke to us, and we wanted to evoke a feeling of this area.
Cool.
And at some point later on, someone, I don't know if they just named this falls Balsam Falls and put it on the internet, but we spent a lot of money to make sure that there wasn't a Balsam Falls, just to make sure that we got our trademark
done. Well, that's fabulous. So there is a lot of breweries in this area, right?
There are.
And so, I mean, hospitality, you've already mentioned. Yes. Is there any other competitive advantages that you've created for your beer and your brewery?
Well, there are a few things. One of the things that we saw that we really wanted to do is we wanted to create a place where people who were new to craft beer could come and learn about what makes craft beer craft beer. We wanted to serve the craft beer in real beer glasses. Most breweries that you go to, they're content with putting their beer in your standard cocktail shaker glass.
Right.
As part of our Cicerone certified beer server training, and something that I knew long before that, but was that a real beer glass should have curves. And that's why our hashtag is beer curves are better, is because, not because I'm fat, but because the curves in those glasses have a purpose.
So these are not the right glasses then.
And unfortunately, it wouldn't be my first choice to drink the beer out of.
Well, we're doing it for branding purposes, not for,
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go to Europe, every beer has its own glass.
Yeah.
You don't order a beer in Europe and get it in a shaker glass. Mm. You know, those glasses, I hate to get on my soapbox, but those glasses were designed to shake cocktails. And they were cheap. They were like, you know, they were like 50 cents a piece. You can drop them on the floor. They don't break. So in the 80s, a unnamed big industrial beer company decided to put their logo on the side of these glasses, give them away to bars and say, here, pour beer in that glass. It was never meant to be a beer glass. Real beer glasses have curves. Those curves have a purpose. When it curves in, that helps retain the head and retain the aroma. The curve out at the lip of the glass.
Well, that's helps, interesting.
Yeah. Helps it roll onto your tongue.
Yeah. So. Well, cool. We have to take a break now. All right. And we're going to talk more about your brewery when we get back.
Okay.
All right. I got to run the
restroom. Howdy. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Howdy. everybody. This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast and my guest, Corey Bryson. So, Corey, I interrupted you because we had to go to break about you talking about glassware. I thought it was pretty interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I'll put it to you this way. If you've got a good beer glass at home, you can do an experiment for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Take one of the shaker pint glasses and take a real beer glass that has the curves like I'm talking about, and put your favorite beer in each glass.
Mm-hmm.
And take a sip out of each one and see, or take two sips out of each one. You always want to acclimate your palate. Take two sips out of each one and see if you notice a difference.
Mm-hmm.
When we were planning our glassware for the brewery, we did exactly that. We ordered samples of a bunch of glassware from the company we were going with. And we sat down and we did in sets of four. We had a shaker glass as our control. And then we had three other beer glasses and we put the same beer in each one, tasted each one, to determine which one we thought accentuated that beer the best. We ended up choosing two glasses, one for our IPAs, one for our standard pints. Since then we've added, balloon glasses, Belgian style beer glasses for smaller pours and things like that. But
So that's very much like a brandy snifter, right?
Yes.
It's like you can tell the major difference in brandy. I mean, you can't even get the experience of brandy without the right. Cool. I didn't even know that that the beer had that sort of thing, and I drink it all the time.
Right. Well, I mean, you've got to realize our sense of taste mm-hmm. is not really our sense of taste. It's mostly our sense of smell.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting the aromas from that beer that you're supposed to get, that the brewer intended you to get,
mm-hmm.
then you're missing out on half the experience.
Cool. So when you you created your business, and it's not dissimilar to what we're doing, is we created something called the Heritage Club. You created something called the Founders Club that helped you yes. build that. What was the Founders Club?
Well, it was something that is now closed. When we were first opening, we needed to get a lot of work done. So yeah. we needed to do painting and mud drywall and do all kinds of trim work and things like that. So we put it out to our friends and family and things like that. Hey, if you want to become a founder, here's what you do. Give us 25 hours of work while we're trying to get this business open. In exchange, we'll give you a t-shirt that's a unique t-shirt that says Founders Club on it. You're the only one that will ever have one of those. And we'll also give you some other discounts.
So it was like a sort of a GoFundMe for labor.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we got that idea from a brewery in the Tampa Bay area that opened that did something very similar to that.
And it worked well for you?
It worked really well for us. We got the painting done. We made some great friends. I mean, even
and
more
and loyal
than
loyal customers.
You know, yeah. I mean, the idea was, okay, we're getting the labor, sure, but we're also creating our cheerleaders
mm-hmm.
because hopefully, and probably about half of the people that finished becoming complete founders are now regular customers of ours. So, yeah, we give them free stuff, but they come in all the time and they bring their friends in and they're friends of ours. So, I mean, these people we've known them for over 4.5 years at this point.
Yeah.
And they're like family.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I have this motel, been around since the 50s, and there's people that come here and they say they were here for their honeymoon in the 60s. So we're talking about a Heritage Club. And one thing we're doing is all these heritage events, but I am thinking about, you know, rewarding these people mm-hmm. like with a special status because listen, they supported it all the years.
Right. So.
But the thing I like about you, you know, we're a three pine motel, where I think we're the only three pine west of Asheville. Okay. Right, which is a state designation of sustainability.
Okay.
Right, and I know you're active in environmental issues, right?
Yes.
So, how does that become part of your business?
Well, brewers use a lot of water, mm-hmm. and they generate a lot of waste. first thing you have to figure out is how are you going to get rid of some of that waste. Spent grain, after it's gone through the mashing process, it still has some nutritional value. So we connected with a local farmer who comes by on brew days and drops off drums. We fill them up with spent grain. He takes them back and feeds them to his hogs, mostly, I believe. So.
Wow.
And
that makes sense. Yeah. And they probably like that.
They do. He collects a lot of it.
So you're a nano brewing operation. What does that mean?
Nano brewing is generally considered under 3 barrels per batch of production. We're actually a 1 barrel brewery. So once we complete a cycle of brewing, we expect to get about 31 gallons of beer out on the back end.
I see. And now is that a licensed sort of differentiation?
No, there's not a licensing differentiation. It's really just a matter of production.
Really? So, yeah. I mean, I used to work with breweries up in New York, and I knew that a microbrewery, you know, had certain limitations, but it also got the benefits of certain things just of being a brewer, a winery, right? I didn't know if that was something. Do you have to get a brewery designation in North Carolina?
No, you do not. You just have to, once you have your federal brewer's notice, you go to the state and get it set up through them, but it's not, there's not any type of level that you have to stay within.
Now, are most breweries in the North Carolina area nano breweries?
No.
No?
I would say not.
Right.
I've met a few other nano breweries. Most breweries that are starting up know better. because nano brewing is very labor intensive.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time we're not brewing 1 barrel of beer. We're double batching in an 11-hour day, brewing 2 barrels and putting that in the fermenter.
Yeah.
And we will do that 2 times, 3 times, sometimes 4 times a week, depending on the demand at that point. Wow. So
now most breweries, I don't know most, but I would say my experience of a lot of breweries is they don't actually build a restaurant, right? They get a food truck to come in if they do anything, right?
Right.
And so you actually have done the work of bringing in a restaurant. That's expensive. Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. When we first opened, our thoughts were to do exactly that, bring in a food truck. And we talked to the town a couple of times and didn't really get very far with them about giving us a parking spot for a food truck.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the evenings and weekends and things like that. We couldn't gain traction on that.
Right.
So within the first couple of months, we knew that we needed food on site, and we tried other things as well.
You could have done catering.
We did catering a couple of times. We actually set up special deals with a few of the restaurants in the area to deliver straight to our bar stools.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the businesses, they did not have a delivery service at all at that time, but they would deliver to us.
Wow.
And, you know, now they've got a huge delivery business. So it really helped them out. But we realized early on that it just wasn't going to work. So we started fairly early, working on getting food on site.
And did you get a chef? How did you create your food menu?
Initially we built out the kitchen and we had a tenant, in that space.
Mm-hmm.
That we opened in August of 2019 with that. Then of course COVID shutdown hit March 2020. When we were able to reopen in June of 2020, the lease was almost up, and we decided to part ways with our tenant and take over that space entirely. And at that point, we did hire an executive chef to help us put in the right equipment, plan our menu, and get us where we needed to be.
Yeah, and what kind of food do you have now?
We have, of course, burgers. We have flatbreads. We have wings. We have a variety of sandwiches. We have Cuban. We have a spicy chicken sandwich.
And you're all day, right?
Yes.
Also breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Not breakfast. Breakfast isn't really beer time.
Oh, yeah, well.
But, yeah, we open at 11 and start serving lunch.
Then. Cool. You know, there is a restaurant in New York City. It's a French restaurant started in France. It was started by a winery. Oh. Right? Here's an interesting story about it. It can't be replicated, right? But what they did is they had to, you know, people really wanted to have food while they were drinking wine, right? So they created one dish. And they got somebody to create one dish, which was steak with the steak and the special sauce and frites, which are fries, right? Well, the special sauce was so great that the food became this huge hit. And people came from miles away. And by the way, they drank wine too, right? Yeah. And it became such a big thing, they created just a restaurant that goes now in several places all over the world. All it serves is this steak frites with this special sauce. And then you can pick your wines and pick your desserts. Right? It's kind of interesting, right? So can you tell us about the beers you brew?
As we were talking earlier, as a brewer, I like a lot of different kinds of beer. I'm not the type of person that will just drink one. So we have a lot of variety in our brewery. We have a total of 36 taps.
Wow.
Two of those are taken up as guest taps, one for a white wine, one for a Prosecco. people like their mimosas for brunch and things like that. But the other 36 taps, our goal is to keep beers and our other products on those. You never know what you're going to find when you come in. You know, right now.
Well, what are your staples?
We have End of the Mist, which is our Southern IPA, what we call a Southern IPA.
Yeah.
We've got Bind Pounder, which is a double IPA. We've got Go West, which is a more of a West Coast style IPA. We've got 87 Eagle Blonde. The 1 year I did live here growing up was my senior year in high school. Graduated from Silva Webster in 1987.
Oh, wow.
So, and their mascot was the Golden Eagle. So when I was looking for a name for the blonde, there you go. Mm-hmm. 87 Eagle Blonde. That's one of our most popular. We've got our Salt Rock Wit, Bonus Defeat, Robust Porter. Let's see. We've got a few others, but they rotate on and off. So.
Now, you're a pretty young brewery. Have you won any awards yet?
We have won a couple so far. There were some competitions in Asheville done by Raven Farms where they gave you ingredients from their farm and asked you to brew with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly limited competition. I think it was limited to 10 breweries. 1 year we came in second place, and next year we came in first place in that. So
fabulous. Wow. Now, do you do things like seltzer, hard cider?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we did. That's one of the things after coming out of COVID, knowing that we needed to make some improvements on our business. We got our winery license so that we could produce cider. So we started producing our own cider. We also started producing our own seltzer. We've got a 5.5% seltzer and an 11% seltzer.
Wow.
Our 11% seltzer is our answer to the fact that we don't have a liquor license. And we can make mixed drinks with that. That's so fabulous. You can mix that 11% seltzer down and still have a decent ABV drink. So
cool. All right. Well, we're going to take another break here and we'll come back. We'll finish up with some more information about what you're doing and then some shout outs.
All right.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Thank you.
pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Spokies podcast. My guest, Corey Bryson. So, Corey, I was talking to Bob Plott, who has introduced us the other day. And I was talking to him, and, you know, I was a beekeeper.
Okay.
And I was in the beekeeper in the Bronx, right? South Bronx, no less.
Wow.
And I got the community to be involved and everything else. And actually, it's funny that The Church of Stop Shopping, which is a far left organization, and I'm not far left by any means, but they said because I was doing this in the South Bronx, they made me a saint of their church. It was a church of Stop Shopping, so I have that accolade on my thing. I doubt I could ever run for office because somebody would bring that up. But the thing that I was discussing with is that I looked it up, and you can make like from a one beehive, you know, like 120 gallons of mead. Is that something that you guys do, is make mead?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we, with our winery license, we can make mead. We can make grapevine if we wanted mm-hmm. to. And we actually just released our first mead last week.
Mm-hmm.
Very small scale. Only have a very, very limited quantity of it. But it is 14.2%.
That's fortified wine, man. That's like
almost below that level.
Yeah, right.
Legally, but yeah, it's made with a bunch of honey and some nutrients for the yeast, and just let them do their thing. And it's dry as a bone, but still sweet from all that alcohol. So,
where do you get your honey from?
Found a national honey supplier actually.
Oh, really?
This batch. We do have some local apiaries that we've been talking to.
I'll be talking to you because I when I put in beehives in the South Bronx, the Waldorf Astoria started using my honey. I can make good honey, man.
Grandfather kept bees, and I helped him every summer with it. So
I grew up here doing honey, and I learned how to do it from my grandfather and my father.
Yeah.
And then I was up there. I also had the benefit of being by the botanical gardens in the Bronx, and I got some real wild plants.
I bet there was some interesting stuff there.
So anyway, it's interesting. So you're always thinking of new products, things to do, right? And things like that. So what's your future? What are you going to be doing next?
Well, at the moment, we need to expand a little.
Mm-hmm.
As we discussed, I have a very small brew house. So I need to expand that and also expand our kitchen because our kitchen is very small at the moment. So we're working on a plan to do that. And hoping to eventually have a second location.
Where do you think about having another location?
We're hoping for Haywood County. So
Maggie Valley. That would be great. Yeah, we need a brewery in Maggie Valley. We got a distillery, but and I want to have a craft beverage at the festival grounds. You know, festival.
Okay,
that would be cool, right?
Yeah.
I think that'd be good. See, I use this podcast to like put you on the spot to get.
We can't forget our friends at Bearwaters. They do have a.
They are great. They're good.
A little brewery down the street.
They have good food. I mean, I love they even have gluten free pizza, right?
Yeah.
But so they do a good job. But you know, they And, you know, they also get a lot of business for, you know, during the winter, which nobody else does because they're near the ski resort. Right. Yeah. So, but there's room in this county for another brewery or two, I think. And everybody still do well. It's like I said, let's build the pie bigger.
Right. Right? Exactly. Yeah. And that, and as breweries come in, everyone says, well, there's got to be too many breweries now. I mean, you look at Asheville, they've got, hey, I don't even know. I think there are 25 breweries on South Slope at this point. But people are still opening breweries. Yeah. Most of them are successful. Cool. I think it all comes down to what your focus is on the business. You know.
So what you're in Silva, and I, you know, this is a travel show. So somebody comes to Silva to have food and beer at your place. What else did they visit in Silva?
Well, we do have the most photographed courthouse in North Carolina, or where they always said it was. It's a courthouse up on a hill. Actually, not a courthouse anymore. It's now the library.
Right.
So that's a beautiful opportunity to take pictures and things. We've got Pinnacle Mountain, which is a nice hike that people can go on. There's lots of waterfalls and other places to hike. There are lakes.
And if somebody, since you don't serve breakfast, what would be a good place to go get breakfast?
Oh, let's see. Well, if you're just looking for just some your regular greasy spoon, there's the coffee shop.
And everybody mentions that one. Yeah.
If you're looking for something a little bit higher class, we do have a White Moon Cafe is in downtown. Also, City Lights Cafe. They both serve breakfast. And there are probably a few other places. I think. There's some new places that I haven't necessarily been to yet. But,
Cool. And then, I mean, you serve lunch and dinner, but, you know, somebody's not going to eat at you twice in the same day. So but where would be the other place that they would eat lunch or dinner?
Lulu's down the street. They're a really nice sit-down restaurant. We've got Ilda's, which is kind of a, they call it a cross between Italian and Southern food. It's really good. Of course, we have your standard Mexican restaurants and everything like that.
Guadalupe's.
Guadalupe's. Yeah, that's a real popular place. Yeah.
Cool. So how can people find out more about you, your hours of operation, that sort of thing?
Well, Monday through Friday, we're open 11 to 10. Saturdays and Sundays, we do open early at 10 a.m. for brunch and close again at 10 p.m. They can find out more about us on Facebook or Instagram, Balsam Falls Brewing. It's also balsamfallsbrewing.com.
Cool. And how about you? Do you have any social media that you are talking about out there, you know, promoting things like that, they can follow you or your wife?
No, nah, I don't do a whole lot. I mean,
oh, you should do TikTok at least. Show us how to cook some stuff.
Actually, know. My wife just started doing Instagram, and she's
all right.
She was telling me the other day how many followers she has. But
what's her Instagram?
I don't know.
Yeah. And she's listening too, right?
Probably. She's probably listening. You know, and I pulled up my phone earlier and went to go to our Instagram for Balsam Falls, and I'm like, they changed the password on me, didn't they? So
yeah,
I don't even have a personal Instagram account. So
yeah, well, that's all right. I think it's been great to have you on the show. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's been a good to find out about this. I love the brewery scene in North Carolina. I'd love to see it even more. Maggie Valley. I love Bearwater being here, but even more. So I encourage you to look at Maggie Valley for one of your opportunities. And I think it'd be great. So this is the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/gatewaytothesmokiespodcast. We also have all our videos on smokiesadventure.com. You can go there and you'll see the link at the top of the Smokies Adventure. So we have not only the shows, but we have transcripts so you can read it and find things that you want to do and other information and newsletter you can sign up for. This podcast is on talkradio.nyc network. It broadcasts first in New York City, and other, you know, places. It's a live network of lots of podcasts, ranging from small business to other travel shows to self-help to, you know, to cats and dogs, anything, you know, a lot of different things. And it's 7 days a week, you know, many hours out of the day. So go to talkradio.nyc to look for shows that you might find interesting. I love the live show format because you can find out, you have a very vital experience. I also run another podcast on this network called Wise Content Creates Wealth. I will help people understand how to use content marketing and SEO to build their business, which is something I'm doing for the businesses I'm doing, which is the Metalark Motel. And it's a very successful approach. And I'm sharing the information I learned on how to do that there. And that's on Fridays from noon until one. So, but this podcast, Gateway to the Smokies, is on Tuesdays from 6 to 7. I look forward to being here next week and having you join us to listen to the next great expert from the Smoky Mountains. Thank you very much. Bye.
Business owner. Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.